Philip. So Bernie and I,
through the streets of
me and Bernie, whatever it is, just shut up. I got to get more emails about that. We are top-rated journalists. Nobody covers stories like Bernie McGurk and Sid Rosenberg. So we sat down early in the week and we started putting down criteria for somebody that can cover this funeral tomorrow. And we came up with one criteria. If the person has an English accent, they're in. I swear to God, that was it.
Book them.
That's
book them. Or her.
Little did we know we would get a lady who, forget about the accent, is actually a legitimate superstar. And her father, Dickie, was an even bigger star. So with that said, it is a pleasure and an honor to welcome in CNN's Victoria Arbiter this morning. Victoria, Sid, and Bernie, how are you?
Good morning. That was quite an introduction. I hope I can live up to this.
Well, it's true. Your story is amazing, I should say. Born in Zimbabwe, moving to Windsor, England, and living in Kensington Palace in your teens. Your father, and all about your dad, Dickie, who, of course, worked alongside Queen Elizabeth II. He was a journalist, too. So you watched your dad cover all these major, major historical events and happenings in England. There was almost no way, Victoria, you were not going to be who you are today, right? No way.
Well, I guess so. And it just so happened he named me Victoria, not after Queen Victoria, but it just kind of was in keeping, I guess, with the family business. But it's been a tremendous honor, I have to say, to have a front row seat to history. And we're both quite geeky about all this stuff.
So, Victoria, yes, of course, the funeral tomorrow. It's going to be restricted, of course, because of COVID. We know Meghan's not going, but Harry will be there. And I guess that's the biggest suspense is how he's going to get along with the family. We understand there's going to be somebody in between him and William as they carry the casket into the church. Tell us about that whole part of the story.
Well, I'm so glad you raised this because, of course, everyone has leapt straight to the scandalous notion that William and Harry are so at odds that they can't walk side by side for the 8 minutes it will take to walk from the castle's quadrangle to the entrance to St. George's Chapel. But actually, the formation, the procession as it has been set up is quite masterful in its execution. It's been done by age versus succession and precedent. And what that means is normally at a state occasion, everyone kind of lines up according to who's next in line to the throne and it goes down through the family. But tomorrow is about presenting a united family front and having everyone on equal footing. So Prince Charles and Princess Anne, as the two oldest children of Prince Philip, will lead the procession. They'll be followed by Prince Andrew and Edward. And then we get the three senior grandsons, Prince William, Peter Phillips, who's Princess Anne's son, and then Prince Harry. So this is not about having to separate William and Harry because they're at each other's throats. It's that Peter Phillips is the oldest grandson, so he occupies the center space.
Uh-huh. Victoria Arbiter, CNN, also a part of the original cast, by the way, on the CBS early show with Charlie Rose and Gail King, that whole crew. You actually used the verbiage moments ago, Victoria, William and Harry at each other's throats. I saw the Oprah Winfrey interview. I actually side with Piers Morgan. I'm sorry, Victoria. But in terms of that relationship and what's really going on, is it really that bad? Has it gotten to that point where Harry really has become, a bit of an outcast with those folks?
It's certainly complicated, let's put it that way. And I think more than anything, it's complicated because the family's dirty laundry has been aired on a public platform. And for members of the royal family, that's often seen as the ultimate betrayal. In 1995, Princess Diana did something similar when she spoke to Martin Bashir. And that really led to the breakdown, the total breakdown of her marriage. It was following that interview that the Queen said, "You and Charles need to get divorced." So I think for the family, it's very difficult once their problems are put out on a national network television platform, because then, of course, people like us get involved. We interpret what was said. We offer our opinion. We tell them how they're supposed to fix things, when really all of that needs to happen privately. So I hope, like any family that has gone through a rocky patch, they find their way back together, because at the end of the day, family's all you've got in life. That's the most important thing we have. And it would just be a tragedy if they were not able to repair the damage that's gone down.
Victoria Arbiter, CNN, a commentator, especially on the royal, everything royal. on the Bernie and Sid show. Victoria, do you think there's some relief on the part of Meghan Markle that maybe, you know, the timing was good for her, that she didn't have to go back and be in this awkward position, or do you think she would want to be there?
I think Meghan would want to be there, certainly to support her husband, and I think as well to pay her respects to Prince Philip. But on doctor's orders, she didn't travel to the UK. She is heavily pregnant. She and Harry are expecting a baby girl this summer. And I think more than anything, Meghan will probably be experiencing an element of relief, because there would have been so much focus had she been there as well. And frankly, tomorrow is all about honouring Prince Philip. He and the Queen were married for over 73 years. He conducted public service, to a selfless public service, for almost seven decades. And so tomorrow is about honouring him, paying tribute to him and thanking him. And I think if Meghan were there, that would complicate things in terms of the media coverage. So she's probably quite relieved to be watching from home like the rest of us will be.
I'm glad you said that, Victoria, because it seems like Philip, who was a good man, I'm not a big fan of his son, Charles, but he was a good man, Philip, and did some amazing things. It seems like his memory is getting lost in all this because of this dopey actress, Meghan Markle, to be honest. And he deserves a lot more credit and a lot more respect than that. So you touched a little bit on the great life of Prince Philip. Give us some more.
Prince Philip was, he was an alpha male in some respects, a product of his era, but at the same time, he was something of a Renaissance man, or Renaissance man, I should say, in the States. But he was a beautiful painter. He loved to paint with oils. He wrote over 14 books. He was a photographer. He designed jewelry. He was a pilot. To be fair, a lot of people didn't like flying with him because he was a bit of a maverick, and Prince Philip was not scared of anything. But he was also a highly decorated war hero. He was mentioned in dispatches for his bravery during World War II. He established the Duke of Edinburgh Awards, which was an award scheme that is in multiple countries to this day. And it gives young people the skills that they don't get to learn in school, but skills that will hopefully set them up for a successful life. And so many kids that are now thriving adults that took part in it have spoken out this week saying they might have ended up in prison had it not been for the Duke of Edinburgh Awards. They were getting in trouble. They fell into drugs. They weren't doing well in school, and it gave them confidence. And that is an impressive legacy, to know that he has set young people up for a successful future, and that then has a knock-on effect for their families. He was also one of the first royals to talk about the environment and to address climate change. He was the first president, royal president of the World Wildlife Fund. He was president of, or associated to, over 800 charitable organizations. So he leaves an impressive, long-lasting legacy, but none more so than his devotion to the Queen. He was the longest-serving consort in British history, and I'm not sure that record will ever be broken.
No, not at all. Well said, Victoria Arbiter from CNN, Everything Royal, here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Hey, Victoria, I have to bring this up. I've been watching, I fell in love with a show on Netflix called The Crown. I wasn't a big royal family guy until I started watching The Crown. I'm in season three right now. And speaking of Prince Philip, by the way, he was politically incorrect. I mean, he said a bunch of things to world leaders that, well, it was kind of funny, endearing, actually, not really malicious. But in the series in Netflix on The Crown, they do imply, in fact, more than imply, that Philip actually cheated on Queen Elizabeth. Did they take too much creative license with that, or is there any credibility to that?
They took far too much creative license, and I'm so glad you raised this, because I too have enjoyed The Crown. It is a phenomenally well put together series. The costumes, the music, the sets, the acting, it is sublime in its execution. But it is a TV show, and it has been heavily dramatized, and Peter Morgan, who created it, is the first to say that it is his imaginings set against the historical backdrop. So, of course, in any drama, you have the hero and villain. And so in the early episodes of The Crown, Prince Philip is the villain, so to speak. The Queen is the hero. That's what you do with dramatization. And it's unfair that that is going to represent a lot of people's idea of who Prince Philip was. So I urge anyone listening today, of course, watch The Crown, enjoy The Crown. It's a lovely way to introduce people to British royal history, and hopefully they'll be persuaded to go and learn more about it. But it is not an accurate representation of who he was.
All right. On the way out here, Victoria Arbiter. You can follow Victoria on Twitter. It's her name, Victoria Arbiter. And again, besides, what an amazing career. CNN, CBS, her father, Dickie. She wrote a great book, too. It's Queen Elizabeth II, Pocket Giants. But I think you'd agree, Victoria, that of all your successes and all the great things you've done in your life, you know where I'm going, the fact that Oprah Winfrey dubbed you one of the worst cooks in America, that to me is your sexiest accomplishment yet.
I'm so glad. You know what? I'm embarrassed to say, although maybe not, because you've given me such a lovely kudos there, that currently I have 3 bottles of champagne, 2 eggs, and some half-eaten brie cheese in my fridge. So that just goes to show where cooking falls in terms of what's important to me. That's why we live in New York, right? We can order takeout.
Exactly. Hey, Victoria, quick question. The coverage starts early. You got to be a morning person because, again, they're about 6 hours ahead of us. What time does it start tomorrow morning?
Well, in terms of New York, coverage is starting around 9 a.m. The funeral will start at 10 a.m. I believe it's being covered on all the major networks and indeed the cable news networks as well. So plenty of ways for people to tune in and watch. And it'll be dripping in ceremony, which, of course, the Brits do so well. There'll be a strong military presence representative of Prince Philip's dedication to the military and his own military service. I think it's going to be a stirring occasion. And I recommend, in terms of history, it could be well worth a watch.
Victoria, you really are terrific. We're fans of yours on television, me and Bernie, and you just did a great job here. Thank you so much for hopping on. Enjoy the funeral. It'll be solemn, of course, but he was a great man. So enjoy the funeral tomorrow. Thank you again for coming on. Great job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, Victoria Arbiter right there, folks.